السلام عليكم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. صدق الله العظيم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. Respected ulama, most respected elders, dear brothers and young friends in Islam, we are in the days of Tashriq, and after every Farz Salah, we know that it is obligatory for us to recite the Takbir. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. And this Takbir is something that is known to every Muslim. In fact, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Takbir itself, is recited every day. Our salah will not be accepted if a person does not commence his salah with takbir. The takbir ula, Allahu Akbar, in salah is necessary, it is obligatory. If a person does not start his salah with takbir, then that salah is not going to be valid. So, the question we should ask ourselves is that, in these days of tashriq, what is the wisdom, what is the purpose for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ask us to elevate this takbir and this pronouncement to the level that we recited aloud after every salah? Of course, the best wisdom is known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We follow the command and we execute the obligation. But there must be some underlying reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the reciter of kalima, the one who has belief in his greatness, to understand and to imbibe and to acquire and to take away something from this. So when we look at the entire event of Hajj and also of the life of Ibrahim ala Nabina alayhi salam, which has been discussed extensively in these days, and it is a lesson that we relearn and we revise and we refresh all the time, especially at the time of Hajj, because of the importance of the lesson. It has, the basis of this lesson is the priority of our life. The reason we have been created, the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought us into this world, the reason why we are breathing every morning and every evening is for this very purpose and priority. That how this human being and this individual can learn in full the lesson of the greatness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And once this is achieved, once the main lesson is learned, once the principal lesson is learned, the core lesson is learned, thereafter it becomes easy for a person to navigate and negotiate all the other lessons of life. But if the main lesson is not learned fully, or there are doubts or there are cracks in it, then what we find is at every challenge, at every point, there is going to be a difficulty in a person understanding this. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Ibrahim ala Nabina alayhi salam to slaughter Ismail alayhi salam, and the story is well known, and what we find is that Ismail alayhi salam is laying down there in conformity with the command of Allah. He is making the sabr and he is exercising the patience of executing this law. It was a two-way thing. It required the commitment of Ismail alayhi salam, and it required the submission of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And it required the patience of Hazrat Hajar alayhi salam as the mother also. So therefore this was not an act, or it was not an achievement of one, it was a collection of the sabr and the endurance of the entire family. So it is mentioned that when Ibrahim alayhi salam now places that knife on the throat of Ismail alayhi salam, the angels in the heavens, they now are observing from the asman, from the heavens, what is happening. And they are completely astounded that can it be, can such an event ever take place in history, that a father is placing the knife on the throat of his son? Can this event ever take place? Can it ever materialize? They are astounded, they are anxious. And in this anxiousness of theirs, the malaika now say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. They begin saying the takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. In this response to this proclamation of the malaika, Ibrahim alayhi nabiyyina alayhi salam, who is fulfilling the act, he is now executing the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He, in response to this, confirms the affirmation that yes, it is definitely happening. The order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is definitely being executed. So he says, La ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. Most definitely Allah is the greatest, and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supreme over all anxiety, over all understanding, over all wisdom, over any form of doubt or type of drawback that a person has. The command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala definitely is above everything. So he says, La ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. And Ismail ala nabina wa sallam, who is now the person who the act is being executed upon, he now in affirmation to all of this, he says, Allahu akbar wa lillahi alhamd. Most definitely, the wisdom of Allah, the decision of Allah, the greatness of Allah is above everything. Even if it means that my life has to be sacrificed, then we are happy to do this. So therefore we find that this now becomes the tashriq of every believer, and it is the lesson that is behind it. It is the wisdom that is behind it. It is the power that is behind this takbir that we need to imbibe and we need to bring within ourselves and implement it into our lives. So this Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd is actually a reflection of the commitment of all of these individuals who had taken part in this great act. Why it is so important that this lesson is learnt and it is relearned and it is embedded in the heart of the believer. Why is this so important? It is because we find that when it comes to implementation in our life, especially today when we look at it, when we find challenges, when we look at the condition of the ummah, when we find people who are in difficulty, in conditions, in circumstances, then the aspect of doubt, the question marks begin to arise in the mind of a person. We say Allah is the greatest, but when the condition changes, when we find that there is a circumstance, then the question mark arises, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really the greatest? Which should not be the case. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to embed this so deeply in our heart, that in all conditions and in all circumstances, a person remains firm upon the greatness and the power and the qudrat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Today we find even among our youth, there is the aspect of irtidadu zahni, where we find the mind is being conditioned differently. And this is why this lesson is so important, that we are Muslims, we believe in Allah, we recite the kalima la ilaha illallah, we come to the masjid, and we do everything, we do the qurbani, we go for hajj. But we find that the influences that influence the mind and condition the mind differently, away from the greatness of Allah, apart from the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are such that they eventually begin to take grip of the mind. So when the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the sharia is placed in front of a person, and today we find because of the enlightenment of science, when a person is asked about the command, for example, of the sharia that a person's hand should be cut off, the command of the Quran Kareem, that if a person is found guilty of stealing, his hand should be removed. Now there is a question mark in the mind, that how can there be such a command? Allah Ta'ala protect us from these types of doubts. And if the issue of the distribution of an estate is raised, that we know the command of the Quran Kareem is لِذَكَرِ مِثْلُ حَذِّ الْأُنْثَيِ, that a female will get half the proportion of a male. Now if you look at it from an enlightened perspective, from a perspective of equality, from a perspective of liberalism, or from a feminist perspective, or whatever the other ideologies and theories and mindsets are out there that we are all exposed to, and our young people are exposed to, our women folk are exposed to. Now the mind is being conditioned, and it is a very appealing argument in inverted commas. It is a very logical argument. It is seemingly a good argument. But of course it is in contradiction to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is in contradiction to the hukam and the command of the Quran Kareem. So this is where that core lesson of Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar La ilaha illallah wallahu akbar now comes in. And this is extremely important, my dear friends, because perhaps at times you will find that a person outwardly continues to function as a Muslim, but inwardly the structures of, or the substance of his iman, the essence of his iman, within his heart, there are doubts. The very essence and the very structure and the very foundations are being shaken because of exposure to the type of challenges and the theories and the philosophies that we are all exposed to. And this is not something that is far-fetched. There are instances where our young children, our young people in universities, in high school, and out there in society, whether they are in careers, in jobs, in offices, in whatever profession they may be pursuing, they are our children, they are from our community, and these doubts and question marks are being raised. So therefore, this lesson that we are being taught at the time of Hajj, at the time of Qurbani, and this whole event of Hajj and the whole event of a person's allegiance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a manner that is unconditional, that is unreserved, that is without any hesitation, this is something that needs to be continuously revised, and it needs to be continuously relearned, and it needs to be embedded so firmly in the heart that first when a person is challenged with any situation, then we say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. The understanding of it, my inability, my limitation, my mind that cannot grasp it, I cannot understand the wisdom, that is aside. That is something I can deal with at whatever point. To get the understanding, to learn it, to understand it, whatever the case is, that is a separate matter. But the command, the hukam, and the law, that is something that we accept wholeheartedly, we accept fully, and without any reservations. And this is the lesson that we need to continuously remind ourselves about, and this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to make this proclamation over and over again. And that is why the recitation of takbir is so important. We find that this lesson of takbir and the greatness of Allah is learned and relearned every day of our life. That is why salah is such an important foundation and such an important institution in the life of a believer. That Allahu Akbar at every juncture, a person starts salah with Allahu Akbar. He goes into ruku, he can't go into ruku if he doesn't make Allahu Akbar. The sajda also goes into every posture of salah requires the takbir and the pronouncement of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The acknowledgement that Allah is, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the highest. The greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above all understanding, is above all theories, is above everyone's understanding. The wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supersedes all wisdoms and all philosophies. And if this lesson is taught and learned and revised and embedded and continuously kept within, in the forefront of our mind, then we will find, inshallah, it won't be easy for anyone to misplace us, to misguide us, to, and we will not become victims of loss of guidance. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches this lesson to the young sahabi. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, he's sitting at the back of the animal with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I want to teach you a few things. And you would think that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to give him some very big lesson, some intricate lesson, some complex lesson. But look at the ta'aleem and look at the lesson that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives him. Something that he perhaps already knows. But it is a revision. He tells him, oh my young boy, ihfadillah yahfadaka. He says, be mindful of Allah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be mindful of you. What does being mindful? Literally it means guard Allah. Ihfazillah comes from the word hafadha, which means to guard, to protect something. Be mindful of Allah, take care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will take care of you. Literally that's what it means. It means that be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness, Allah ta'ala's law, Allah's command, Allah's presence, consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at every juncture and wherever and whatever a person is doing. If this is kept in mind all the time, there will be very little chance of loss of direction. Ask Allah for guidance all the time. That is why in salah also, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, every day, how many times we read surah Fatiha? Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Oh Allah, we need this guidance. We need you to keep us upon sirat al-mustaqim. And we are asking this from you all the time. Give us this guidance and imbue us continuously with this guidance. It should not be for a moment that a person loses focus of guidance and hidayat. Because guidance is the powerhouse. It is the fuel that drives the life of a person. Without guidance, whatever ni'mat a person will have, also that ni'mat will not be enjoyable. That ni'mat and that bounty will not be one which gives a person fulfillment also. We find today that the world is full of depression. For what reason? It is not because people have shortage of wealth. It is not because people have shortage of technology. It is not because of a shortage of anything. The first world countries have the highest form of technology and the highest form of life and comforts of life. But they are right at the bottom of the rung of contentment and happiness. The whole society is steeped in depression. Right? Every second person that is being diagnosed is diagnosed as bipolar. Either North Pole or South Pole, he doesn't know which pole he is. Bipolar. Why? Because there is no contentment, there is no fulfillment in that ni'mat and that comfort and that life that they have. And that is because of a lack of guidance, a loss of guidance, a loss of direction. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give us. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells this young man, ihfadillah yahfadaka, guard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command and law, keep Allah's consciousness ever present in your mind, and yahfadaka, Allah will ensure that you are rightly guided, Allah will ensure that you keep upon the straight path. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam revises that lesson. In the second part he tells him, ihfadillah tajidhu tijahaka, or tujahaka. That guard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be mindful of Allah's laws, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will find Allah around you. You will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holding your hand in every aspect of your life. And this is what is called divine inspiration. This is what is called when a person's heart is guided directly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That a person wants to make decisions in life, he is faced with challenges in his life, he is faced with conditions in his life, and he requires that guidance. And that guidance comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's greatness and his inspiration and hidayat and guidance at all times. So therefore, we ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to, in these days of tashriq, that whilst we are pronouncing and we are making takbir all the time, this takbir must be internalized. The lesson of this takbir at tashriq must become a reality into our hearts. Otherwise the 5 days will come and go, we will all say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, we will recite it, and the days will go, but if the lesson has not been learned and we have not been able to internalize it, then unfortunately it will be like attending a class. We sat, we listened to the lesson, we learnt it, we wrote it in our book, we passed the exam. But once we go out of the class, then we are not practicing upon that lesson. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's du'as are very profound in this regard. One of the things that we have been taught, again, is that to ensure that we remain upon guidance and the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in front of us, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika, wa Allahumma rabbana la taj'ali dunya akbara hammina. This is a very beautiful du'a and it requires a lot of explanation, but it is something that we should reflect upon. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the one hand asks for guidance and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's consciousness, he asks Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to protect him from those aspects that will become a means of a person's dereliction and loss of guidance. La taj'ali dunya akbara hammina. That, O Allah, do not make the world my biggest worry in life. And this is something that we all require to reflect upon and practice upon. That what is my biggest worry in my life? Every day, every morning when I wake up, what is my biggest worry? So the Bishra says, whatever your worry is, don't make the world your biggest worry. La taj'ali dunya akbara hammina. Because why? The world is not the end of everything. Wala mablagha ilmina, and O Allah, do not make the world and the life of this world the end of my knowledge. Whatever I know, the end point of it must not be the world. Everything I learned how to do business, I learned economics, I learned how to trade, I learned about finance, I learned technology, I learned science. All of these things were learned. But that's the end of my knowledge. That's the end of what I know. That is all I know. So the Prophet said, wala mablagha ilmina. That the world and what the world has and what the world has to offer must not be the end point of our learning and of our thinking and of our pondering and reflection. There is much, much more than that. وَلَا غَايَةَ رَغْبَتِنَا. And our wishes, our desires, our thoughts, our feelings, what we think about, what we want from Allah, the end point of that must not be the dunya. Everything that we ask for Allah is only about the dunya. Everything that is related to the dunya and everything that is in the dunya, that is the only thing we can ask for. That should not be the end point of our wishes and our du'as and our desires also. There is much more than that. There is hidayat and there is guidance. There is asking for Allah's love and Allah's ma'rifat and recognition. These are the greater ni'mats. These are the broader, bigger ni'mats. And more important priorities in life that we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تُسَلِّتْ عَلَيْنَا مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمُنَا. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, O Allah, do not place upon us such rulers will not have mercy upon us. And this du'a is reflective of what happens when people make du'a the dunya the end point. When we make the life of the world the end point of everything, then eventually such conditions come upon us. And this is why we find that the world is gripped in this. Now today we cannot find a just ruler. No government, no country in the world has a ruler who has mercy on his on their citizens. Why? Because the entire world is gripped in this end point of being everything regarding the dunya. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala grant us this understanding and say Basmika.